Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. Hope you're enjoying the leftover turkey and got a great deal on that new TV. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In today for Stokely and Zach, here's Jerry Schemmel and CBS4's Romy Beans.
Well, I get to do something today I've never done before. That is work with the famous Romy Bean. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, you know what? This is my honor.
No.
I get to work with the great Jerry Schemmel.
No. Other way around.
I can tell you, Michael, my coworker at CBS4, who just held it down from 9 to 11, I told him, I was like, man, I got Jerry, man. I got to be honest. No offense, right? John's great. Everyone's great. Who's been hosting? Chad, Troy, but I got Jerry. Yeah. I feel like I won this lottery pick.
You do?
I got to be honest. I do. I really do.
You're making me feel good. I appreciate that. Only because it's the day after Thanksgiving you're saying all this, I think.
Well, and I want to set a good tone for the show, right?
Yeah.
I want to
make
sure that you're like, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. I am. Yeah, for sure. Hey, the obligatory, how did your Thanksgiving go?
You know what? It was great. I was working.
Yeah.
Which is pretty standard in this business, right? Yeah, in TV, we're like, what? You know, we'll be traveling on Christmas for the Broncos game, but thankful to be able to talk sports and communicate with fans and viewers in that sense, you know?
Yeah.
So I liked it. They brought some food in for us. So we got the turkey. And
very nice.
And it was wonderful. But how was yours?
It was great. Yeah. I didn't have to work.
Yeah.
And so we did the traditional Thanksgiving thing at home. And we're going to have our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter over, but they were all sick, so they didn't make it. So it was just the three of us,
okay. My
son and my wife and I. But it was awesome. It was great. Yeah. Food is great. My wife's a great cook, and we had fun.
What is the one dish you can live without, like Thanksgiving dish?
Yeah, I could probably do without the cranberry thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cranberry sauce or cranberries, whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
I feel like this is controversial, but I'm not like a huge stuffing person.
Really?
Yeah.
That is controversial.
I know.
No,
people are really
not
big on their stuffing, so.
No, I like stuffing.
Which?
But, yeah, you could do without that.
You know, yeah. I mean, look, I ate some yesterday. I'm not saying I didn't. Right. If it's there, I'll eat it.
Right. But gotcha.
Mashed potatoes are always my favorite.
So did somebody make this up at their home and bring it to the station, or did you have it catered, or what did you do yesterday?
Yeah, no, the station, they were so great. They had it catered. They brought in food for everyone working, so they always take good care of us over there. I feel grateful. They do a similar thing on Christmas, so you still feel like you get into the spirit, and you spend it with your work family.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So gone all day long, not home for any kind of Thanksgiving activity? You're working all day?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? I did stop by my parents' house this morning, and they gave me some leftovers. So I will be honest, I did have some sweet potatoes before I got here.
You did.
I don't know if that's too early, but, you know, I got to have some of my mom's cooking.
Right. I got you. Sweet potatoes, you're a fan of those?
I love sweet potatoes.
Do you? I do, too. Yeah. Those are tasty.
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And here we are today, the day after. You got to be the busiest person that I know. I mean, you're working, you're doing this, like, side gig. You're doing other stuff. I know you're involved in charities. You're working full time. You're a busy person.
You know, I guess, you know, I'm a little bit of a workaholic, but I honestly love it. And it's like, I will be the first to admit, I don't have a great work-life balance. I really don't. I have not figured that out yet. That's still on my to-do list.
Yeah.
But when you get to do a job like this and you get to find ways to interact, you know, with people and with this community, it's like, I just can't get enough of it, right?
Yeah.
So, still working on that balance, but you know what? I feel like you're a busy man. You're a man about town. You got amazing Americans.
Yeah, busy with that. Yep,
which
for
you
sure
can hear right here.
Yeah.
Look at that promo.
Good job.
Who you got on this week?
It is a guy that he's the founder of the Denver Dream Center, which people might be familiar with, might not. It's a charity, but he was a college basketball player, very good one, was going to get into coaching, and he decided to go this totally different route and start the Denver Dream Center. And they work with the hopeless of the hopeless, Romy. I mean, street people, homeless people, people come out of prison, people going into prison. They're just helping them try to get out of this cycle. And he does absolutely incredible work. I'm involved a little bit with the charity and some of the things they do. And they did a Thanksgiving thing yesterday, and they do a big Christmas thing. But no, he works with, and he's got these stories, and he's going to tell them tomorrow stories about rescuing these kids from crack houses.
Wow.
It's just, when he starts telling the story, and I've heard it a couple times now, just like almost like sweating, like, you got to be, this is something out of a movie. You got to be kidding me. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's searching around for a little 3-year-old girl, and there's no electricity, and there's no plumb. I mean, it's just, the stories you have are amazing. So this is one of my favorite. I've had him on before.
Okay.
Brian Cedarwall is his name. Had him on before. He's a good friend, and he's just so articulate. So, yeah, if you have a chance tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I think it's on The Fan, 8 a.m. tomorrow, that's a good one. That's a good one for you.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, not all, you know, feel good stuff, but the work he does is amazing.
Inspiring. Humbling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
All the
Yep. I suppose we should talk some sports, huh?
You know what? We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Especially for a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you able to watch any of those NFL games yesterday?
I was. And man, that Raiders Cowboys game was crazy on several levels.
Yes.
Right? The whole span of the game, the penalties, which we'll have to talk about at some point. Just outrageous.
Yeah.
It's like, are we playing two-hand touch here? My gosh.
Yeah.
I think people were putting it out today, but there hasn't been that many penalties in a game in, I don't know. I'll find the stat, but a very long time.
Yeah.
A very, very long time. And my one thing, Jerry, is like when it comes at crucial moments, like
right.
the PI on Dallas in crunch time, like, don't let penalties determine a game. There's nothing that aggravates me more. I feel similar with a lot of times in the NBA with the free throws that can determine the game at the end. It's like, just let them play the game, especially when it's this close. Makes me crazy.
Yeah. It seemed like, and I know that game in particular, it seemed like all three of those games I watched yesterday, the same thing. There's so many penalties, like a penalty every other play. Do you think there was something with the NFL, like we've got to crack down on holding or defensive pass interference or something? It just seems like there's a rash of these calls lately.
I don't know what it is, but it's what's funny to me is that does not make the game more entertaining.
Right.
That makes a game that already is three and a half hours go an extra 30 minutes, right? People don't want that. That's one of the biggest complaints about baseball games, that they're too long, right?
Yeah.
And so whatever they're doing, it's not for the betterment of the game. I understand when you're going in safety, but the penalties right now to me fall in the same category as what they're doing with taunting. So what are you doing? There's emotion in this game. Some of the taunting penalties, I mean, you look at another team's bench and you're getting a taunting penalty.
Right.
You know, you can't legislate emotion in a game that's so emotional.
Especially football. Yes,
especially,
I agree with you.
And especially when everything happens so fast.
All right.
Right? You can't expect these guys to stop and know how to react in the heat of the moment. But the penalties, I don't know if that's in 2020, I think they took away one of the judges, one of the refs, the line judge, watching the offensive line. We all used to say, is that why Garrett Bowles is getting less holding penalties? So I don't know if they have all more refs back back on the field. I don't know what it is, but it has been outrageously high. And it's like, it feels like the ref shouldn't be this big part of a game.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
It just really takes away from the excitement, from the legitimacy of it in a lot of ways, right? Because you feel like, man, we got hosed on that penalty. You know, that one penalty that cost them, but it wasn't one. I mean, both teams had over 100 yards in penalties. That's outrageous.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I tried to look at each penalty because you obviously can see the play on TV. All right, that one was legit. This guy, you know, offensive lineman grabbed the defensive lineman's face mask. That's holding.
Right.
And a couple pass interference calls, like, yeah, he hit him before the ball was there. But there are a couple other plays, like, geez, he just sort of grabbed him and let go. And the timing, look, there were some of those calls that I just really wondered about.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, without fail, I think this might be an offensive strategy at this point, too. But you know that if you go for that Hail Mary kind of a thing, you're probably going to get PI on the defensive player,
right.
You know? And that to me, has become really frustrating because it feels like, oh, you know what the offense is doing. I mean, if you're rooting for that team or if you're on that offense, yeah, well, that's great because you know what you're going to get. But it's frustrating that it's almost like they've keyed in on that, oh, we can get 15 yards. We can get spot of the foul with a PI right here. I'm just going to chuck it long, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's – I know it's not – you're not going to catch it.
Right, right.
And I find that frustrating because it's like that's a loophole that takes away from this game.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it's part of the strategy. It's like we're throwing long here, and we're hoping to get a pass interference penalty.
Right.
We either catch it, or it's incomplete, or we get the penalty.
Right.
How can you lose? Can't really lose because you're going to win on two of the three.
Exactly.
You know, I started doing yesterday too. Is like every time there was a big play, I thought, "Where's the penalty? Where's the? There got to be a penalty,
right?
Because it's a big play.
It's a big play.
And when there wasn't, I was almost shocked.
Right. You know what else was one of the craziest things I think in that game was that in the Lions Bears game, poor Lions can't be thankful for a win just yet. But the Bears had the ball for the last 8.5 minutes of that game.
Wow.
And they managed to only get a field goal out of it, but it was enough to win.
Yeah.
But that's crazy, just the way that game ended. The poor Lions, man.
Were you pulling for the Lions?
But, you know, I just want them to get one win. That's hard to be a guy on a team that has zero wins.
Ooh, I'll say. Yeah. Well, they didn't get it, but I think they're going to get one.
As long as it's not here, when they play Denver, go ham, Lions. Yep. Get one somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, folks, hoping you're having a great day after Thanksgiving. Jerry Schimmel, Rolling Bean Inn, filling in today. The stars of the show get Friday and Thanksgiving off, I guess, Friday after Thanksgiving. So here we are, the second team, third team. But that's okay. We're good, right? We're good with that? Okay.
I think I sound exactly like Brandon Stokely. I think the accent, doesn't it? The accent, spot on.
He looks a little bit like you, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, we go to the same hairdresser.
Oh, you do?
No, that's false. that's false.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the Broncos. Matchup on Sunday has the Chargers, 2 o'clock kick from Mile High Stadium. This is a really interesting matchup in a lot of ways. Romy now will cover that when we come back. Stay with us.
Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. Hope you're enjoying the leftover turkey and got a great deal on that new TV. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In today for Stokely and Zach, here's Jerry Schimmel and CBS4's Romy Bean.
I love those lyrics. American woman, stay away from me. Why would the American woman want to stay away?
You know, I don't know. I actually was born in South Africa. So technically,
I know you were.
I am by citizenship and passport, I'm an American woman, but I guess I don't truly understand the root of the song.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, we're going to talk about the Broncos in a moment here with the Sutton and the Patrick extensions on their contracts. I want to ask you about that first because I was intrigued by that. Born in South Africa.
Yeah.
So how did that Were your parents native South Africa? Okay, so they moved when you were 2, I believe, right?
Yes.
So what was the circumstance? That's an interesting story.
Yeah, my parents were both born and raised there. My dad ended up there because his family left Eastern Europe in World War II.
Oh.
So South Africa at the time was just, they were open their arms to people leaving Europe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the backstory of how we ended up there, if you will. And then I always like to say my dad just spun his finger on a globe and it landed on Colorado. But what happened was my uncle was living here at the time. Apartheid was going on in South Africa. My parents didn't want to raise my brother and I, you know, in that kind of a world, thinking that is the way that things should be. And because they obviously were very against it. So that was a big impetus for them to come over. And then at the time, my uncle was here, so he was able to bring my dad over. My uncle then moved to California. So then it was, I have 2 brothers here. I have 2 brothers in Canada because they tried to come over as well, but then couldn't get their visas renewed. So we're all over the place. But, you know, my parents, I mean, I'm not sure about my dad, but I believe my mom, the first time she saw snow was when they moved here.
Really?
South Africa's a lot like San Diego. It's just like 75 and sunny. All year, it's nice. And she was like, what on earth? Where did you bring me? Where did you bring me? And now, they are the reasons why I became such a huge Broncos fan. Right? So, and they bleed orange and blue. And then how I ended up kind of following my path and now get to cover the Broncos. It's fun because that's kind of another fun connection that I can share with my parents. It's been a decade-long thing now, several decades long thing now.
Have you ever gone back to South Africa?
I haven't been back, honestly, since I was, I think, 10. My parents have been back a few times before then, but it takes so long to get there.
Does it?
And it takes like 24 hours to get there, really, and then there's the time change. So you got to have, you know, at least two weeks. That's like a two-week thing. And then just, you know, with work, and even with school, once you're not, you know, 10 anymore, it's hard to go. But yeah. But they have gone before. A lot of my family's moved away too. A lot of them in Australia, kind of all over the place.
Wow.
So we still do have family there, but we it's just such a schlep, truly, get over there. So you really got to plan that out.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in a long time, but I would like to go back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. So Steve Hess, do you remember Steve Hess?
Yeah.
Steve Hess was the strength and conditioning coordinator for the Nuggets forever. And Steve used to always say he's from South Africa.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And he always used to say, I'm from South Africa, so I'm really the truly only true African-American on this basketball team.
Which is ironic. Very ironic, especially in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I like to say that too sometimes, and it's, you know, I always hope people get the joke, right?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
So you're the only true African-American, at least in this room.
At least in this room.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Take it.
All right, I want to ask you about Sutton and Patrick extensions. In your mind, you probably discussed this with people already. In your mind, good moves on the part of the Broncos?
Yeah, you know, I like them. I got to be honest, I was surprised that they did both of them.
Yeah, me too.
Especially in the same week. You know, you look at it, it is a lot of guaranteed money. But I think big picture, one, the salary cap's going to go up again this year or so. And you know, probably a few more times, if we're being honest. And maybe I'm putting a little too much faith in George Payton, but I think he's a very judicious guy. I don't think he's willy-nilly with these things. You look at the other deals he's done. He seems very smart in that aspect. I think he worked this out, right? And I like it for two reasons. One is rewarding guys for good play, rewarding guys in-house. When George Payton came here in February, he said that was a big thing he was going to do. The guys that were homegrown guys that they were going to reward, keep those guys around. And in March, when they extended, when they signed Shelby Harris, and remember the year prior, they let Shelby hit free agency, and everyone kind of felt like, oh, they didn't necessarily do him right. George Payton comes in, and first thing he does, signs Justin Simmons. That could have gone on till August, franchise tag, the way it was with DT, the way it was with Vaughn. That's what I expected it to be with Justin Simmons. To get that done there, I was very impressed. And then with Shelby, and Shelby said, this is the kind of culture change we're talking about. You know, Shelby will always be very honest. And he said it, that's a culture change. This is what players want to know. This is what players want to know, that if you work hard, you're going to be rewarded. And Shelby said, and now everybody knows the Broncos are doing that. So for other guys, when you're recruiting, when you're trying to get guys to come in free agency, that's very appealing to know. We've got a general manager here that's going to reward us if we do well. And that is very enticing. Guys want to know, right? Especially in a league where it is not for long. You don't know how long you're going to be doing this for. You don't know how much money guaranteed you're going to get. So to see him making these moves, that's one reason why I just love what he did with Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick.
Got a friend, Romy, who works for the Minnesota Vikings and worked with George Payton for a long time there as their staff attorney. And he said this to me when he came to Denver. He said, get this, George will not make any knee-jerk reaction decisions. He will think things through. He'll do his homework. No one will outwork him. And if he makes a decision, there is a lot that goes into it. And if he's going to bring in a free agent, he's thought that thing through. It's not to please the fans or anybody else. It's to make the team better. If he re-signs a player as a free agent or gives him a new contract, it's because he really likes that player. So you said that, I think. You said, hey, he's very judicious, and he makes his great decisions. That's what I'm seeing with this guy. All right, let me look at Patrick and Courtland Sutton and see what their talent level is. I'll reward him for the play they've given, but these guys are really good receivers, and they're going to help us down the road. I think that's how George looks at this. It isn't to fill a gap. It isn't to please anybody. It's to make this football team better. Do you see it that way?
I absolutely see it that way. And to me, he is a man that everything is very well thought out.
Yeah.
Like, let's not be fooled. This is not just because he wants to reward those players. That's one reason, and I love that about him. But another thing is, this sets him up for what he wants to do in the offseason. If you are going to try lure in a veteran quarterback, they need to see, oh, I like what you have. Oh, you have locked down weapons for me. You've got three receivers locked down through 2024. That includes Jerry Jeudy. You got four through 2023 with KJ Hamler. So when you're trying to lure in a quarterback, you've got the weapons. That's a piece. Or if he's trying to draft a young quarterback, okay, we're building the pieces around him. So I think everything you look at, this is a long-term thought process. This has not just to do with what Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton are doing, right? This has to do with what he wants to do in this offseason, with what he wants to do in the future. And what I like about George Payton is right now. He's got no loyalty to anybody here.
Right.
He didn't bring in any of these guys.
Not his coach.
These aren't his coaches. This isn't his front office. These aren't his players. So that is even a bigger testament to say to sign right these guys. Because one thing really interesting that Champ Bailey said to me a couple months back was when management changes over, that's very worrisome for a player because you're not that guy. He talked about his experience with Washington. He said, Snyder came in and I wasn't his guy. And he didn't want to pay me because I wasn't his guy, right? And then, of course, that worked out wonderfully for Broncos, so no one's complaining there. But that's even more of a testament than to put all this faith into Courtland Sutton, into Tim Patrick, but also what you said. This man has done his research, right? He has probably watched every single game that these two have played, and this is not based on just this year, right? Mm-hmm. This is based on their past. This is based on where he wants to bring this team. This man wants to win, and I have a lot of confidence in what he can do, just in what he's done since he's been here, from his signings, from the draft. And let's not forget, he's done that while John Elway's still in the building, right? You know, that's a lot of pressure, especially early on. But I get the sense that more and more, he's just really quickly come into his own, right?
Yeah,
And
I agree.
And I don't think he's afraid of John Elway's shadow by any means at all. And it's impressive, and you love to see it.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. My friend said the same thing. He's like, he won't be intimidated by anything. He'll make his decision. He'll do his homework, make his decision. He'll stick by it. He doesn't care what people think because he believes he's doing the right thing. And he also said something interesting too, Rome. He said, when it comes to the draft, he's just got a sixth sense about players. And he said, if Justin Fields, Broncos could have drafted him, right? A quarterback. It said, you know, if he didn't like Justin Fields, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And he's probably not going to be a great quarterback. But this is what the guy said. He's got a hunch for these guys. So that got me excited. Yeah.
That is exciting. That's the one thing that you do wonder, and I think I agree with you, but maybe at that point he would have been more influenced if, per se, John Elway was like, I don't like that guy, right? But still, down the road, I think that if he really wanted it, based on what we know about George Payton, he would have pushed for it.
Yeah, no question. All right, we're going to break here and come back and talk. We're going to shift gears, talk about the Nuggets. And that team, decimated by injuries, they had been playing so well. Injuries hit, now they're sliding a little bit. We'll see what Romy's take is on this team, and we'll talk about the Nuggets when we come back.
Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. Hope you're enjoying the leftover turkey and got a great deal on that new TV. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In today for Stokely and Zach, here's Jerry Schemmel and CBS4's Romy Bean.
Day after Thanksgiving. I hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Naomi and I did. We've talked about that already. And the day after Thanksgiving is always interesting because there's football and there's now basketball. There's leftovers. There's all kinds of stuff to do on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And then, of course, you got more football coming up, pro and college. Last time around for the college regular season, CU's got a tough game on the road at number 19, Utah. CSU's at home against Nevada. I think that's tomorrow night. You know who the best team in the state is? Air Force. They're 8-3, Romy.
Oh, man.
They're good.
Consistently. Air Force and Mines. Can't leave Mines out there, right?
Good, yeah. They
got a first-round bye in the Division II tournament, but I think they're playing this weekend.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, consistently. Heck of an engineer, as they say. Yeah. But Air Force is always, nobody does the run, plays the option better than Air Force.
Have you been to many games down there at Air Force?
I have not. I actually went to the Stadium Series game when the Avs played down there.
Oh, did you? Okay.
But shamefully, I haven't been to a football game down
there.
Football
is really cool there.
Is that
beautiful stadium, and they do a great job, yeah. All right. Hey, let's talk about the Nuggets. You were asking me during the break, have you ever seen injuries like this on a team? And, boy, rarely. I was in the NBA for 20 years, Minnesota and the Nuggets. And every once in a while, you see that rash of injuries, but nothing like this, and nothing serious like this either. I mean, season-ending injuries for guys. So it's a team. You're a basketball fan. In your mind, can they hold up? Can they get through these injuries and get healthy again?
Yeah, I definitely want to get your take on this from all of your basketball experience, Jerry. But to me, this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
As soon as Nikola Jokic goes, we were just talking in the break how, I mean, his basketball mind, his vision is just unparalleled. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to watch. But as soon as he leaves, the entire game change. I mean, clearly this team runs through Nikola Jokic. But then Michael Porter Jr., that's a big concern to me, right? Mm-hmm. He just gets the big extension, and we're talking kind of about that three-headed monster down the stretch of Jokic, Murray, and MPJ. If MPJ is out, this changes the whole dynamic of what they want to do in the postseason, and I think that is going to turn out to be a really big loss, you know, that third big scorer. So we're still kind of waiting to see, but the fact that it is his back, that the back is the reason he fell in the draft, that he's had surgeries on it before, that's concerning to me. I don't love that backs are very tricky, right?
Yep.
And then the bench, which had struggled, you finally figure something out with Bones Highland, who has been so fun to watch, and PJ Dozier. Now they're both out. PJ now with an ACL. It's like one thing after another. This is, I've never seen the Nuggets decimated by injuries like this. And what I think is going to be interesting, this is going to be a really big test, not just for the Nuggets, but for Michael Malone.
I agree.
Since he's been here.
I was going to say the same thing.
I can't count the amount of five-game losing streaks.
Yeah.
I mean, Malone has always been very hell-bent on not being on a three-game losing streak. And when I knew things were tough was when they lost that third game in this current streak, and they were without Jokic. So Malone was, he didn't even mention the three-game losing streak. And then you could see by that fifth one, he was ticked off. And I think this is going to be, how does he rally this team? He's had it so good. And I really like Malcolm Malone, but he has had it so good with Jokic. I mean, even with Murray out, but Jokic being there has been huge. And then he had now with no Jokic, no MPJ, no Bones tonight, no PJ, no Jamal. I mean, that's five guys. How are you going to – now you got the defending world champs coming in. I think this is going to be a very big test for Michael Malone to see how he can find a way to navigate through this. In your experience, Jerry, how have you seen teams rally on something like this?
There's two things that have to happen. Number one, as a coach, you almost have to reinvent your team a little bit. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're an offensive team that uses Jokic as the point and everything goes through him, you got to find a different way to do things now. You got to play traditional basketball, or you got to milk the shot clock and rely on defense and slow the game down. You got to kind of reinvent your team a little bit. And I was talking to George Karl about that the other day, and I said, George, what do you do when you got injuries? He said, you have to make things up, and you got to get really creative. And so that's your point too. Michael Malone's got to do that. He's got to find different ways now to win than he used to, which was, hey, play solid defense, but let's go through Jokic and let him get his triple-double, and we have a good chance of winning. The other thing is, and this is an easy one, but guys have to step up. I mean, there are going to be guys that are get at minutes that weren't planning on it, but take advantage of that. It's anytime there's a guy that's hurt, somebody else has got to step in and be that guy that's productive if you're stepping in. Whether that it might be a bench player now, it might be somebody who's in the rotation that's going to get more minutes now, it might be somebody who hasn't played a whole lot, but somebody or a group of guys have to step up and just bring their A game every night to try to make up for that. And then you hope, Romy, that you just sort of knock on wood and you can survive until you get your guys back. And then when you do, a lot of times, this is the history that I've seen in the NBA, is when those guys come back, it's like making a trade for a great player, all of a sudden you're energized again. Mm-hmm. So I think if they can somehow get by and stay in the hunt for the playoffs until Murray gets back and these other guys get healthy, I think they'll be fine, because I think once they get them back, they'll not just have them back, they'll all be excited about being together again, and then you kind of take off.
Yeah, and I mean, Murray, one of the biggest things that's been missing is that swagger from this team, because nobody brings that like Jamal Murray. I felt like Bones Highlands was really injecting that, actually, which is why it's been disappointing to see him go down. But that's so true. Two guys that I really do feel like have stepped up, Will Barton and Aaron Gordon. I am loving, I got to be honest, what I'm seeing from Aaron Gordon. I feel like Aaron Gordon finally is settling in and understands his role. You look at him last year, I felt like he was trying to do too much.
Yep.
Now he realizes, okay, I am supposed to be the elite defensive player on this team, which he has been. And, you know, the one thing with the injuries that concerns me is I think Aaron Gordon got to settle in that, like, I don't have to be this big high scorer, right? So now is he putting that on himself and maybe trying to do that a little too much as a takeaway from his defensive game? I mean, it hasn't, but that's one thing that kind of I start thinking about as this trickles down, because I feel like Aaron Gordon was just starting to really settle in. The Greens, Jeff Green and Jamichael Green, have really stepped up. And I hate to be a hater, but like there's nothing more boring than like, woo, Jeff Green, lighten it up. Like 34-year-old Jeff Green, yeah. Just, you know, and that's not fair to Jeff Green because he really has stepped up in all of these absences. But this Nuggets team without Joker, without MPJ, without Bones, it's a lot less fun to watch,
yeah.
You know? It's a little bit harder to watch, I got to be honest. But, yeah, it'll be interesting what you said about Michael Malone having to kind of invent things that George Karl said. That's so interesting because I think in a lot of ways, Nikola Jokic just invents things as he's
sure.
going, right?
Yeah.
He is that quarterback that audibles all day long.
Yeah.
So now that's all on Michael Malone. It's going to be a really big challenge for him as a head coach.
You ever seen anything like Jokic before?
I have never.
Unbelievable, isn't he?
Unbelievable. And yeah. and it's so unexpected, right? He's this kind of like big big Serbian guy who looks like he's exhausted two minutes in. He looks like he's unathletic. And then the guy just, his vision from the court is like, it is unbelievable. Yeah. It is incredible to watch. And what I often think is on the national, from the national perspective, because they don't get to watch him night in and night out, I don't think they understand what a marvel he is. When you just watch him in games, just plays he does, like it's nothing. Just another night of Jokic being
it's
Jokic.
Like, he's like he's in practice.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll go through, I'll do this, and I'll do that.
And he's so mellow, and he's just, you know, and some of those court, you know, QB1 throws he makes and everything. But his vision, the way he sees the court, is incredible. And again, it's just so unexpected. He's this goofy Serbian guy who likes to ride horses, and that's what he wants to do in his post-basketball career. And yet he's like a basketball savant. I mean, we are so lucky. And if anything else, having him out these past few games, I think hopefully makes people appreciate him even more, because you see how dramatically different it is when he's not in there.
I say that all the time. I say, people, hey, fans of the Nuggets, bask in this guy's talent right now, because we'll never see anything like him again.
No.
I mean, we've never seen anything like him before. We'll never see, especially with you might see him in the NBA, some other team, but you're never going to see a player like this on the Nuggets again. So let's appreciate him as best we can. He's really uncanny. I mean, I say this, when you play the Chiefs in football, Patrick Mahomes and that team want you to blitz. They dare. They want you to. Jokic is like, they want people to double team him.
Right.
Yeah, come on, bring it on, because I'm going to find the open man and get a better basket than what I would have.
Right.
So how many guys can you say that about in the NBA? Who want to be double teamed? Nobody.
He is tough, and he doesn't get the calls.
True. He does beg a little bit too much once in a while. He complains a little bit, but that's a European mentality. They all do that.
Sometimes I wonder, honestly, if the refs can understand him. Like, he has such a thick accent.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Sometimes I listen to him in post games, and I listen really closely, or even listen back. So I always wonder about that. But I don't know. It's probably not. I think they just.
No, I think it's a good point, because if they don't understand the language he's telling them, if you're an official, you probably aren't going to get insulted.
Right.
Like, I didn't know what he said, so I can't give him a technical.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break, shift gears again, and talk about hockey, about the Avalanche. They are an interesting team these days as well. Stay with us. This is The Fan, Jerry Schimmel and Romy Bean.
Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. Hope you're enjoying the leftover turkey and got a great deal on that new TV. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In today for Stokely and Zach, here's Jerry Schimmel and CBS4's Romy Bean.
Hey, welcome back. Jerry Schimmel, Romy Bean this morning, filling in on The Fan. We'll go until 2 o'clock today. Romy's got to take off a little bit early, but we're talking different sports, been talking about the Broncos, which we'll get back to in a moment, the Nuggets and their fate right now, which is not terribly positive. Let's switch gears to the ice, to the Avalanche. And you were saying to me before we came on here, Romy, that you love the culture of the NHL and especially the Avalanche. And I've had so many people, I haven't been around there much, not a big hockey guy, but I enjoy the game. And my son is a fanatic. And a lot of people said the same thing. The culture around hockey, the hockey guys are different, especially the Avalanche. What is it about it that has captured you that way?
Yeah, you know what's so interesting, Jerry, is I leisurely enjoyed hockey before I started this job, but I have gotten so into it. I often say after football, it's my second favorite sport to cover, and people are like, really?
Hmm.
But it is. The culture in hockey is so different, and this is no offense to any other league, but it is in a lot of ways, it's just a little bit more pure.
I got
you. They don't care about the TV or about the media or being a big public persona. These guys just want to play hockey.
Yeah.
That is it. And there's also a very kind of a family environment. A lot of it has to do when these guys go through juniors. They live with, host families. With the Avs, a lot of times, the young guys, Cale Makar lived with Nathan MacKinnon when he came here. Gabe Landeskog lived with, I can't remember who, but it's this long train of they really bring in the young guys, and it is like a family in that sense. And they're also just truly so great to deal with. We have some of the best media interactions with them. Obviously now, it's podium because there's no locker room access just like in all the other sports right now. But they, Gabe Landeskog is, he's a reporter's dream. He will sit there and he will hold court. He will answer all of your questions and he answers them thoughtfully, win or lose, And I just think there's a purity to hockey that hasn't been lost in this day and age of big TV deals and, social media and all of this stuff and be your own individual star, which is, I think, permeated through a lot of other leagues. It's just not like that in hockey. It's still very insulated in that way, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it fascinating, but also really cool to be a part of and kind of to study in a way, you know?
Yeah. Our son, interned with the Colorado Eagles, the minor league team, and for a whole year, two semesters, and he said the same thing. He said, the guys are just so great to work with. Everybody's so nice. They're so accommodating. And I said, Ryan, why do you think that is? Why is this group of guys so different than other athletes? And he had an interesting theory, Romy. He said, because they've been playing hockey all their lives, number one. And it's a blue-collar sport, and you don't need a lot of, there's not a lot of rich kids playing hockey in Canada. It's just kind of the thing. And then he said, and then they have to play in the juniors, and they're living with other families, and they're doing the minor league thing, and they just, you can't help but get humbled by all that. Where in the NBA, you get drafted, you come out of college, you're an instant millionaire. Right. Same way in the NFL. And you can contribute right away. It's kind of like hockey's kind of like baseball. You got to spend your time getting better in the minors, hone your skills, all that kind of stuff. And by the time you make the major league or the NHL, you're like, man, I've been through a lot. I've really been humbled. I haven't made any money, traveling around, living with people, all that. Do you think there's something to that? Does that make sense, Ryan's theory?
I absolutely. I think I think he nailed it. I think Ryan should write a thesis on that or something, man. He nailed it. But no, absolutely, right? There's so much failure to get to here, and so much time, like you said, and you kind of you learn to, I think, in a way, I don't know, just put your head down and be humble. And these guys, it's so funny because all of them, they're so good. And whenever you ask them about something they did, Nazem Kadri, who is on fire right now, just did this the other night. He's like, no, I just play with great players. That's why he's on a career high 10-game point streak, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always somebody else's credit,
I love that.
I love that so much. And I think that there's a big point to what Ryan said, and there's just a lot of humility in that game.
Yeah. 6-game winning streak for the Avs. They're hitting their stride, huh?
They are on fire. And, especially they got off to a wonky start. Yeah. I was concerned about them at the beginning of the year because it felt like after, in training camp, they were saying, we're so mad that we got bounced out of the second round for a third straight year in the playoffs. And then they came out and it was just kind of hit a wall and what are we doing here? But now they've really started to hit their stride. This is one of those things where you have to remember in hockey and basketball, you can't just like look at a small sample and base the season off them. I think I get into football mode this time of year and I start doing that with hockey and basketball. But what's really impressive is they have done this without Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Which is so impressive. But that kind of has me thinking, and I always wonder about this, Nathan MacKinnon. Nikola Jokic, before all the other guys got hurt when it was just Jokic that was out. I don't know if I'm overthinking this. Jerry, do you think there's something to, when the main guy goes out, that I don't know if it's an added responsibility or they rely on the big guy too much, but it feels like the other guys just come out to play more than you've ever seen. I don't know. Do you think they see it like as an opportunity, a responsibility? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I overthink that.
No, I don't think you do at all. I think that's human nature, isn't it? If you're on a team and you're missing your star player like Jokic or MacKinnon, like, hey, we got to make up for this. We got to prove that we're not all about him. our team is still good without him. We're going to go out and perform. So that's what I was saying about the Nuggets. I think those guys are that way. Aaron Gordon, you can see it in his body language. Hey, I got to make up for lost time here. We're missing guys. I got to really step up my game and do something different offensively. I can't just be this defensive player. I think it's the same way in hockey. It's like, hey, if we're going to be a great team and a championship caliber team, we have to do this on some nights without our best players. So let's rally. Let's play together, and let's show the world that we can be this great team without our great player.
I mean, it's been fun to watch, especially the scoring output that they're having without Nathan MacKinnon. And I think this is a testament to how big of a piece Nazem Kadri is to this team. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go back to last year's playoffs, he got that, which is one of those things, okay, Naz can't get a bad penalty and get knocked out again, yeah. Right? Because he was out for, was it 8 games or 10 games? I think it was 8 games.
I think it was 8, yeah.
But he missed that entire Vegas series.
Yeah.
And when you see him, he is a difference maker.
Yeah.
He is such a huge piece that you can see this is a guy that they need to stay healthy, to need to stay out of trouble for a playoff run because, no, I don't think that he's the only reason that they lost out of the playoffs. They really just hit a wall and were terrible in that Vegas series, especially those last 4 games. But you can see how much of a piece this guy is to the puzzle,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that, okay, we need this guy to stay healthy. We need this guy to stay out of trouble because when he is on, I mean, he is on, and he is a big piece of this team getting to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
No bones, no mistake about it.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, and for those out there listening that might not be hockey fans, or if you're in the group that has never been to an Avalanche game, I'm gonna give you advice my son always gives people when he talks to them about hockey. Just go out and watch a game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is really fun. It's really exciting, right? It's intense, and it's a great atmosphere. Wouldn't you agree?
Hockey live is one of the best sports.
Yes.
And I think that's one reason why a lot of people haven't latched on to hockey. I don't think it translates that well on television.
I agree.
It's hard following the puck. It's about being there. So if you have an opportunity, and you know what, they over at Ball Arena have great deals a lot of times, family nights, yeah. You just got to look out for them. But a hockey game live, I mean, there's nothing like it. They have almost a cult fan base.
Yep.
They're always there. It is so much fun. The environment is so much fun. I would absolutely agree with you. If you ever can, get it live because it'll change your perception.
Yeah, exactly. So Christmas is coming up. So if you want a Christmas gift for somebody that has never been to a hockey game, how about that? We're not trying to sell hockey tickets,
no.
But I think it's a fun idea.
I don't get any proceeds out of it.
No, I get nothing. In fact, we're competing radio stations.
Yeah, that's true.
But we love hockey.
But we're all Avs fans.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the Broncos again. Their matchup on Sunday against the Chargers. Going to get Romy's take on this one. Should be an interesting game. Broncos coming off their bye week. Chargers full of talent, especially on offense. We'll do that. Stay with us.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.